Why am I here this morning? I could be other places doing other things. Why here? That's a valid question and a good question. Let's begin by listening to what Jesus says is the most important thing in my life. There is no other consideration. There is no job. There is no career. Nothing more important than this. When he was asked, what is the first and greatest commandment in the law? He said, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay. I'm to love God. Why am I here? Can't I love God at home? Am I not to love God every day that I live? Yes. But loving God demands that I am concerned about His commandments, about His will, about His statutes. You cannot separate the love of God from an interest in, a desire to live by His commandments. In the Old Testament, there was a preacher named Moses. He had the nation of Israel before him. They were getting ready to go into a land that God had promised them. He preached a sermon that's recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. Time after time after time, he talked about their need to understand and respect the commandments of God. I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. This is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God. Verse 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. This is the essence of loving God, that we must be devoted to His commandments. So here's the question. If I do not know God's commandments, if I'm not interested in God's commandments, how can I claim to love God? It's not a funny feeling in my heart. It's not how loud I sing. It's not how much money I put in the collection plate. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 and 3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And so, this occasion on this day of the week, when saints gather, is an occasion provided for people who love the Lord God with all their heart, to better understand, to remind of what we've learned, and to prepare ourselves to obey and teach the commandments of God. And that's why I'm here today. That's why we had a 45-minute Bible class. That's why in this service we're going to have a 35-40-minute lesson. Because loving God demands I keep His commandments. You cannot separate that. Don't deceive yourself into thinking, I love God because I pray occasionally. I go to church occasionally. I don't steal and lie and commit adultery. Loving the Lord God with all your being, all your heart, soul, and mind, says, I want to know His will. I want to know it better. I want to equip myself to live by it. And I want to be able to teach it to others. And that's why I'm here. That's why these kind of assemblies are provided. That's why we're going to have an assembly on Wednesday night to study the Bible. Not because of the elders, not because of the church, but because of our love for Almighty God. Jesus Christ, we've sang about Him. We partook a memorial to Him. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, He said, seek first. This is similar to the verse we read. What's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Love God. Jesus said, seek first. Now, if you read that context, that first is in opposition to what the world seeks first. What you eat, drink, and wear. Material things. You get up in the morning, that's what you think about. That's how you decide where to live, the job you're going to take. That's your career. But Jesus said there's something more important than your job, than your house you live in, the car you drive. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is that? Can you tell me? And if you're in this audience and you can't tell me, it's obvious you don't love God. Or you haven't loved Him very long. Because if you love God, you're going to know what that is. And that's why you need to be here. The kingdom of God is the rule of God in the hearts of men. Manifest in the coming of Jesus Christ. That's what He's talking about. That He's the coming King. He came. He died. He ascended. He's ruling today. His rule in my life needs to be first. First. That's why I'm here today. But again, one may say, I can read the Bible at home. I can study hours at home. I can learn a lot about God and Christ at home. And when I go to work and when I go to school or when I go and enjoy life, I can think about God's commandments. You can. I doubt you will if you don't attend with a group of people like you ought to. That will not be on the forefront of your mind. It might be an occasional thing, but it will not be on the forefront of your mind. But why am I here today? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews is written to some people who were Christians. They believed in the one God. They had believed in Jesus Christ and confessed His name. But they quit being here. That is, assembling with the saints. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look down in verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. And it can become a habit, a custom. You miss once, oh well, I feel bad. Miss twice, miss five times, doesn't bother you as much. Became the habit of some. In this particular case, it was because the kingdom of Christ was not first. First was the protection of their bodies, their homes, their possessions. Some of these people were suffering for their faith. Some were being thrown in jail. Some were being threatened with death. And first was their own health and consideration rather than the kingdom of Christ. And so I'll not be identified with the saints. I won't go to their assemblies and I'll avoid that persecution. That was the setting of the book of Hebrews. That's not our problem today yet. It may be someday. But the point is, he says you should not be forsaking the assembling of the saints, but more importantly, why am I here? Here's the reason. Encouraging one another. Okay, so it's Craig's job to seek the kingdom of first. It's Wally's job. It's Neil's job. It's my wife's job. It's Deanna's job to seek God first. God provided a means to help Craig and Deanna and Neil and me and all of us seek God first, and this is it, assembling together. And the failure to assemble actually reflected, in this case, their lack of devotion to Jesus Christ. Read the context of the Hebrews. That's what it reflected. It wasn't because they were sick. and couldn't come. It wasn't because they had no transportation means and couldn't come. It wasn't because the government forbade them from coming. It was a reflection of their lack of faith and devotion to Christ. In this particular case, it was so evident that they are warned with eternal judgment. Listen as I read further. Verse 26. If we go on sinning willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth. Wait a minute. Sinning willfully. Is that failure to attend? The attending was to help them keep from sinning willfully. That is, losing their faith and devotion to Christ. But now their failure to attend was included in that. If we keep on sinning willfully, after having received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. But what awaits us? Oh, well, okay, I won't know as much. I won't serve Christ diligently. But I'll go to heaven when I die. I got my ticket punched. Listen. But a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. That doesn't sound too pleasant. Judgment awaits. I don't want to go to hell. I believe in hell. I believe in the devil. And I believe in eternity. And I want my eternity to be with God and with Christ. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I'm encouraged by you. And you encourage me. As we join together in song, as we join together in prayer, as we join together in Bible study, that's an encouragement to me. I don't know where I'd be if I had grown up not going to church. I don't know where I'd be today. Probably not here. No telling where I'd be. This is God's plan, not man. Look back in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Here's the beginning of the early church. Peter gets up and preaches about Jesus Christ, that He's the Son of God, that He died by the plan of God for the remission of man's sins, and that they needed to recognize He's their Lord and their Christ, their Savior and their Redeemer. So they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They said, what do we need to do? And He told them they needed to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And verse 41 says 3,000 people responded to that message and were baptized that day. Now what? They go home. That's it. They were baptized. What does verse 42 say? In Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, they continued steadfastly, or this verse says, continually devoting themselves to. And four things are mentioned. Fellowship. Apostles' teaching, which I'll say more about in a minute. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. These Christians, many of them, had come here for an annual feast. But they embraced the gospel of Christ. And day after day after day, they met in the temple. They met together to learn more about Jesus. So that when they went home, they were better prepared to serve Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 5. And look at verse 42. Every day in the temple. And from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Who was in the temple day by day? For them to learn about Jesus Christ. If not these early Christians. They wanted to learn. And so they came together where there was a teaching opportunity to know more about Jesus. It wasn't just, I want to be a great student of the Bible. That's not it. It's loving the Lord God with all your heart. Loving Jesus Christ as you should. Look at Acts chapter 11. Here's a pattern that you find throughout the book of Acts. The book of Acts records these apostles going out and preaching this gospel message to the world. And they'd go to city after city and teach people the gospel. And people would obey it. Then what did the people do? Look at Acts chapter 11. And look at verse 26. There was a man by the name of Barnabas. He lived up in Jerusalem. But the church of Jerusalem sent him down to another city called Antioch. Because they had heard that men had went there and preached the gospel there, and people had obeyed the gospel. And they sent Barnabas. What did they send him for? They sent him to do the very thing I'm talking about, to teach those people so they could grow in Christ and serve Christ faithfully and know His commandments. I want you to note verse 26. He went and found another teacher by the name of Saul. And these two men worked together with that church. And it says, it came about for an entire year they met with the church. They met with the church. If you are a member of the Antioch church, you could say, here's why I want to be here. I don't know if it was Thursday night, Tuesday night. Somebody said, why are you here? Paul and Barnabas are here. We're going to study about my Lord that I obeyed. I want to learn more about Him. I'm going to equip myself to serve Him better. That's why I'm here. It says, for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. That's what they did. It's interesting when you read the three journeys of the Apostle Paul. The first journey, he went into a territory where there were no churches and he preached the gospel. You know what the other two journeys were for? Yes, he taught the gospel in some uncharted territories, but he went back to those churches to teach them, to teach them, to teach them. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost, but he stopped in Troas, and on the first day of the week, when they had come together to break bread, Paul preached to them. He knew the disciples got together on the first day of the week to observe the memorial of our Lord. And he took that opportunity to preach to them. By the way, preach to midnight. Is that important? Why is it that you have four letters in your Bible talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You have one letter in your Bible telling about the men Christ appointed to go preach that gospel to the world, the book of Acts. Why is it you have the rest of your letters, 22 letters, to individuals and churches? And when these letters came to these churches, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. Over in Colossians in chapter 4 and in verse 16, look. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. You have the Revelation letter. People say, oh, I love to study Revelation. Really? In Revelation chapter 1, you find that he's writing a letter to seven churches using John. And when you get to chapter 2, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. And this letter was to be read in the church at Ephesus. And then in the church at Smyrna, and in the church at Thyatira. Question, what if you weren't there? What if you weren't there at Thessalonica when Paul's letter was read? Or in the church at Colossae when Paul's letter was read? I love the Lord, really? Are we interested in His will? Are we interested in growing and understanding, equipping ourselves to serve, making the right choices as to how I treat my wife, my husband, my children, my neighbor? That's why I'm here. It is a God-appointed way that I can better equip myself to serve God and to encourage others who love the Lord. We think, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know about the rest of the people. Let me tell you what, that attitude, let me help you with that. You're not going to heaven. In 1 John... John talks about three things that are necessary to fellowship with God. One of them is belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ as it was presented by the apostles. Faith in that gospel. One of them is righteous living. He talks about that throughout the book. But there's a third one. You know what it is? See, I'm not sure what that is. That's why you need to be here, by the way. It's love of brethren. Love of people who love the Lord. That's why I'm here, because these people are here. In 1 John, in chapter 4, There are just so many verses I could read in 1 John because there's so much about this. But he said, verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother. Now, you're not talking about hate in the sense I want to kill him. There's no concern. There's no involvement. There's no interest. Hates his brother. See, he's a liar. The one, listen, who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. You say it's a sin not to be baptized because God commands it. What about loving your brother? You say it's a sin to commit adultery because God forbids it. What about loving your brother? Failure to love your brother. That's why I'm here. Because these people are here. That's why I'm here today. Look at Matthew chapter 26. You know, sometimes a loved one dies. Before they die, somebody we cherish. And they'll say, look, I'm going to die, but here's what I ask you to do. We may call this a dying request. Maybe it's a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, whatever it may be. Somebody so close to us, a dying request. Where I'm going to read is on a night before Jesus was going to be betrayed, and the next day he was going to be killed. You could call it a dying request. He's with these men whom he has chosen. In Matthew 26, it says, while they were eating, verse 26, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. Eat it. Is it for hunger? No. What's it for? This bread, this, it represents, is to bring to your mind, to cause you to focus on the body I'm going to give on the cross, the atonement I'm going to give for the sins of mankind, the why I even took a body in the first place. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, God created a body you have prepared for me. Why did he do it? He said, I want you to remember why I came into this earth, entered a human body, went to the cross, died for the sins of men, arose victorious the third day. This is my body. This is the kernel of the gospel. He came to die. And he said, I want you to remember it. And so here's a simple memorial I'm making before I die. Eat this bread in memory of me. And then the text says, he took a cup and said, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. The covenant, what covenant? A covenant whereby I can be forgiven. A covenant God honors. A covenant that provides the hope of heaven. What ratifies and makes that covenant real? His death on the cross. This is the blood of my covenant. And he said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. That's why I'm here today. The first day of the week, very important to Christians. Acts chapter 2, when the gospel was preached in its entirety for the first time, including the resurrection and ascension of Christ, was the first day of the week. After Jesus died and arose again, the first time he appeared to the apostles was on the first day of the week. In the records of the early churches, we find them meeting on the first day of the week. And that's why I'm here today. I want to honor my Lord, but there's more. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 26, he was writing to the church at Corinth that observed this memorial, by the way. And he said to them, verse 26, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim, you preach the Lord's dead till he comes. I can do that at home. You're right. But you know what? There's nobody to hear me except God. I can do it to God. But I can come together, and that's God's plan. And I can eat that piece of bread that after the comments made, like Neil did, is to focus my mind that that represents the greatest event that's ever happened in the history of the world. The death of the Son of God for the sins of mankind. And then there's all these other people who are doing the same thing. I'm glad to know that. And I can drink that fruit of the vine. It's not just that he came in a human body, but that he died. His blood was shed as an atonement for my sins. And I can say, by partaking in that in an assembly, like you, and you, and you, and you, I believe in the crucified Redeemer. That's why we're here. I like the people here as friends. That's not why I'm here. I like singing. But it's not just singing is why I'm here. There are higher reasons. It's singing that exalts my Lord. It's singing together that encourages teaching and admonishing one another. Colossians 3:16. That's God's plan. That's why I'm here today. We have visitors with us today. Maybe you wonder, why do these Christians attend on Sunday? And why are some of them so dedicated? They'll be there Sunday morning for Bible class and Sunday morning for worship. And then if they have an evening worship, they'll be there and they'll come on with that. Why? I'm trying to explain why. These are reasons. These are valid reasons. As to why I want to be here today. Why I want to be here Wednesday. Why I want to be here if the saints decide to gather on Sunday evening. I love my Lord. I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I love my brethren. And I want to be able to serve. And that's why I'm here today. Someday we're going to die. We talk about heaven. What kind of people are going to be in heaven? I like to be with my co-workers. Your co-workers may not be there. I like to go fishing with my buddies. Your fishing buddies may not be there. You know who's going to be there? These people right here. And I want to spend eternity with this kind of people. There won't be any sin in heaven. There won't be any lying. There won't be any stealing. There won't be any murder. There won't be any robbery. I want to go to heaven to be with the same kind of people that I'm with here today. And that's why I want to be here today. It's not a matter of being part of a denomination. We're not part of a denomination, and we are not a denomination. It's for the reasons I trust that you see we have lined out in the Word of God. We're going to sing the song that has been selected. We sing these songs at the end of an assembly like this. What for? Why do we sing these songs? In years past, they were called songs of invitation. A lesson might be presented to convince people that Jesus is the Christ. A lesson might be presented to encourage people to return to duty. And so a song would be sung to invite people who had come to believe in Christ and needed to obey Him to respond and come to the front and confess their faith in Jesus and be baptized. Or people who were not serving God come to the front in a confession of their wrongs and a rededication to serve Christ as they should. That's appropriate and that's good. In the past few years, especially affected by this pandemic, oftentimes, the lessons we present are not of that nature. They're designed to encourage. They're designed to teach and develop our knowledge in areas where we may be deficient or need to be reminded. So our final song is not always a song of invitation. Maybe it's a song of encouragement. Maybe it's a song of meditation. What is the song today, by the way?
Zion's Call.
Zion's Call. You know what Zion stands for? Oh, well, you need to be here when we talk about it. But I'll tell you what it is. It's heaven's desire for you to walk with God. Now, we're going to be standing to sing that song. If you're interested and need some assistance with Zion's Call, you come to the front. Someone will meet you and we'll talk about it. If you'd rather after services, you just let me or some of the men of this congregation know, and we'd be glad to get with you at your home or in some other place and talk about it further. Zion's calling. Will you listen as together we stand and sing?